This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, hello, everybody. It's Is It Just Me? As you know the drill already. It's me and James Williams. Hello.
Hello, Joe Elving.
And as usual, we're going to, it's our regular lecture series on the geopolitical complexities of modern life.
Don't turn off.
Don't panic. It's not at all. This is the podcast where we put the world to rights by examining the minutiae of the silly things in life.
Hear, hear.
And treating them with the gravitas, the authority, the seriousness with which they
I'm not one of the silly things of life. Is that why you've got me on the show?
Well, I mean,
no.
Gravitas.
You do, Jay.
You're bringing the culture.
Yes.
The culture. But you're supposed to wait till I introduce you.
Yes. Sorry.
No, I'm only kidding. Because I had a whole thing planned. We are, James and I are so excited about our guest today. Multi-million selling singer-songwriter, multi-award winning, the fresh party prince of Ibiza, the burniest bitch on Twitter.
Ooh,
it's
yes.
James Blunt, everybody.
Hey.
Yeah, everybody.
Yeah, he comes with his own canned crowd.
They don't seem that excited.
Silence. Yeah,
that well, was quite an intro.
Welcome.
I was really thinking a multi-million. Didn't go for that. And yeah, that's crude, isn't it?
No, but you what? Are you. No, don't worry about being crude on this show. But you are now, obviously, James, you've turned your hand to so many different things. As Joe said, you're a bit of a multi-hyphenate, aren't you? Because obviously we know you as a singer and songwriter, a very successful one. Obviously one of the funniest men on Twitter is another one of your, I think. Now,
thank you.
But also you've got a bit of a sort of restaurateur pub owner as well,
it's
aren't
true.
You?
True, I've just bought a pub and opened it in Chelsea, and it's
doing really well.
And my favourite job to date. To be a pub landlord is the greatest.
You're allowed to plug it on this one. What's it called?
It's called the Fox and Pheasant.
I need to check it out.
You're kind of winning at life, I think. If you own your own pub and then you're a really successful musician, I think that's kind of like the dream.
Thank you.
It's quite greedy of you, actually, James.
Awesome. Well, you know, you're very welcome to come down any time.
Do you only play your songs in the pub?
No, specifically what I do is at closing time, 5 minutes before closing time, we whack on You're Beautiful because we know... That's gonna get them home.
Can you imagine a purely James Blunt jukebox? That would be quite something, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it? That's what hell is.
Do you pull the pints?
I do pull the pints. I put pictures online of me pulling pints. My staff who work there seem keener for me to be down in the pot wash instead. I don't know, that's because of my skills or the face. I don't know.
You know, before when it all goes wrong for me in media, I actually have bar experience. The Mail on Sunday once referred to me as a former barmaid in a scathing piece about me before I actually went to work for them. So can I put my CV in?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Please do come back. I used to be a sandwich packer. I had a whole job as a sandwich packer, which was a unique skill in itself.
I was thinking about this the other day when I walked past Hamleys and I had a flashback. I'd forgotten how awful it was. I was a toy demonstrator at Hamleys at one point.
I love those guys.
Oh, they're
I
not.
I hate
you
them.
The plane and it
yeah,
came back
but it's
to
it's
you.
A bit like, you know, Rodeo Drive and the prostitutes. It's basically like that. Get off my patch. It's very, very competitive. Yeah. When I was there, like, it was actually very unpleasant.
You do feel mauled.
It killed Hamleys for me, honestly. Because as a child, you think of it being like this like special like Christmas grotto where, you know, you go to as a kid and then having worked there. Sorry, Hamleys.
They really make you hustle though, as well, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Anyway.
Oh my God. Anyway, we're not here to talk about that.
we are here
to talk about you, James.
Yes.
Yeah.
And your new album.
We should talk. We should plug that.
We should talk about. We started with a pub.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's called Once Upon a Mind.
Yes.
Now tell me about the name, because I always find it really fascinating. Because I'm not going to lie, I do find it annoying when people don't make the effort to give their album a name. You know, and they just give
they name
it their name.
Song or just call it, yeah.
Yeah, I think, that's lazy.
I think that's really lazy.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to call my album How It Feels to Be Alive, but Tom Walker ruined that for me. Because he's got an album with a kind of slightly less
name. How dare he?
Yeah. Which is a really good album. And so instead I've called it Once Upon a Mind, because the mind is a lonely place and I've got shit going on in mine, and I thought I should put it down in an album.
And it is, it's deeply personal in places, isn't it? It's quite amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I have some stuff going on in my family at the moment. My father is unwell, his kidneys are failing him. And at the other end of the scale, that's what happens to old people.
Mm. Yeah.
Sorry, Dad. Yeah. And at the other end of the scale, I have a young family now. And so really, in front of my eyes, I see the circle of life.
You really are
out.
In that sandwich generation.
Mm. Yeah, totally. Yeah. And that's incredibly inspiring. And at the same time, I'm away on tour a great deal. I leave that little family behind for 18 months at a time. And I leave my wife, who then has to deal with all of that. And in doing so, that leads to a lot of loneliness and isolation, not just on my part, but on the part of the people I leave behind. And so that creates inspiration to write songs. Yeah.
I have to tell you, James, I think this might be the first time in my living memory that I've ever heard a man speak about the parental guilt of that. It's always, and I think that men do feel that, but it's, my husband has never been asked how he feels about working long hours and being away from his daughter, but I get it all the time.
Yeah.
So I felt my heart just swelled that you'd written that song Cold, which was about that sort of like that detachment guilt.
Yeah, totally. And it talks about the ocean between us, which I mean on a physical ocean of me being an American and my wife being back in the UK, but that ocean is, you know, it carries on in a metaphorical sense too, just because of the distance that because I am the one who chooses to go away a long period of time. Of course, it's my job, but it's my passion too, and it's a hard choice to make, or at least there are consequences to it.
So have you ever been asked, James, how you juggle work and family life?
Well, I suppose the answer would be not very well.
Well, I think that's how we'd all have to answer it. People ask me and I say, well, I do everything in a half-assed fashion. That's how it gets kind of muddled.
But don't you then find, then, James, when you are at home, you're really at home and you're really present, right?
Totally.
Surely when you're not promoting and recording,
very, very hands-on, and it's a job where I get I've been at home effectively since last October. October I came back off the tour and then I was home up until this moment now, really, and so I've been home and very much hands-on and loved it. So I suppose my job has these kind of moments where I'm present and somewhere I'm gone.
Be honest, did you not also have moments where you think, oh yes, I'm getting on a plane, this is great, I'm going to watch some films, have a glass of wine?
I mean, you know, that occurred to me a year into a tour when I met a child for the first time when it was a year old. Yeah, I probably did that pretty well.
Yeah.
I know. It's really, I think that, you know, being a hands-on parent, particularly with really tiny, demanding little, you know, little Hitlers, basically, aren't they? They're just like, you're completely at their mercy, and it's tough.
But are you at a point now where your kids are understanding what you do for a living, for a day job?
I think children see things through such a wonderful clarity. I think my eldest child knows I'm a singer in the sense that he knows that other people do other jobs. He doesn't know that it's anything special. I go out and sing, and that's what brings in the money for us to live as human beings. And he might know that my other mate design stuff and draw stuff, and he's a graphic designer.
Right.
He doesn't know that I'm the lucky bugger who people then celebrate and call us, you know, and associate fame or celebrity with that, or pay far too much.
Yeah.
Because we do a weird thing with musicians. We put them on a pedestal and make them these famous people.
That's when I love it, when you hear about the kids of musicians who literally think they're the uncoolest people in the world. Yeah. And that's probably what's going to end up coming way.
And that's true. They see things through very clear eyes. I'm just a minstrel.
But it is cool. Being a musician, though, isn't it? I mean, everybody's got those songs that, and my God, I mean, you've written one of the most, I mean, Your Beautiful must be played at pretty much every wedding ever. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you've when you're a musician, you've sort of giving people those cultural touchstone. Yeah, really so leaving, I actually think it's right that we put them on pedestal.
Yeah, I don't. I think it's amazing and a huge honour to be the soundtrack to people's lives.
Yeah, I think that's what it is, isn't it? And also it's the fact that your song would have come into somebody's life at a time where it made them feel either better or discomforted.
It's incredibly touching. When people come out to me and say, hey, you know, we played Goodbye, My Lover at my father's funeral, whatever they might have done, those are because, you know, and their story of why that song would be relevant is normally much more moving than the inspiration behind the song for me. Mm. And so I'm incredibly touched by that. But we do a weird thing where we do create celebrities in a way that is slightly unnatural and unnerving when we should celebrate teachers, doctors, nurses.
But can I ask then, James, has success or commercial success changed the way you then make your music? Like, is it, you know, is it something more conscious, or do you try to not, you know, follow a trend? How do you, for example, put this album together as opposed to?
So I've really struggled after my first album, Back to Bedlam, to then not be aware that there's an audience out there. My first album I wrote for myself about the things that were going on in my mind as a single male coming out of the army, trying to work out my place in the world and what it all kind of means. So quite introverted and in that way. And then with success, suddenly realize, oh God, you know, the next album people are going to listen to it, judge it, sometimes positively, but the negative ones are going to impact you more, even if they come in much fewer numbers. You're always going to be obsessed by those negative comments. That's human nature. And so when I was writing the songs, the audience were already in the room, and then you start writing the songs for them, which is totally self-defeating because then they're not really very genuine. And so that's happened maybe for the last 14 years. And actually, with this album, Once Upon a Mind, what's gone on is that some things have overtaken that. Some things have happened that are more important, as I say, with my father, with my little family. The audience are no longer in the room. I'm not writing songs for you guys anymore. I've written this album for the loved ones I have at home. And the irony is, this is an album probably that will connect with more people because they'll realise that it's just true.
That's true. I think having listened to the tracks, it definitely feels, you know, what I think is encouraging is that, you know, sometimes people feel, I think, the need to go against the grain of what they were known for. They feel like they've got to experiment with different sounds. And I think this just sounds so you, but in a really fresh way.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I suppose with a bit of experience, you know, you really do.
But you know what I mean? Like, some people would feel like, oh God, because you had so much success, and then obviously with certain songs, you know, they almost become a bit of an albatross, don't they, around your neck? And so you then feel like, do you then feel you want to go and write something totally like thrash metal?
I've tried without getting the thrash metal, but I have done that. And my last album,
it's always an option.
Next one.
But on my last album, very much I've, you know, had those songs which were different sounds, collaborations with different people I loved doing, and I was having fun, but it definitely wasn't an album inspired by deeply moving things.
No.
And I'm fascinated with the video. It made me very, very tense to think for the video for Cold, where you sort of like, we see you coming back out of the ocean. I'm sort of tense that you'd been in there for 14 years.
Yeah.
It's like really.
So yeah, well, You're Beautiful, as if people have seen it, was me taking my clothes off on a cliff and placing my possessions in my pockets out in front of me obsessively and then throwing myself off that cliff. That was 14 years ago. I'd just come out of the army. I was looking a little more buff than now.
Oh, come on.
And so this video we've done, which is the sequel to that. I've been lost at sea for 14 years.
Yeah.
I've made my way back
swimming
to shore.
Swimming around.
Within
Are you quite blue?
And I stepped out of the water. And so it's a two-day video shoot. I had to suck in really hard for 2 days. But the most amazing thing about it really was I have all the clothes, the same clothes I had from the Your Beautiful video. They've been hanging up in a cupboard in my room in Ibiza next to all my other
clothes. They've been on that cliff just waiting.
And so I came out and I come out of the water in this video wearing the same trousers, find the same shoes, find the same ring and keys and plectrum, same t-shirt, same coat, and we're back in.
Now, did you just think that would be a fun thing to do, or is there a symbolic?
Well, there really is for me. The analogy is I threw myself off that cliff 14 years ago, and after I did, the world kind of went weird, and I feel I have been slightly lost at sea for that time, and I feel right now with the release of this album, I feel that I've made it back to shore.
Yeah, you found yourself, your sound, and I think you can definitely hear that in the music. I think definitely. And so for everyone listening, it's out on
25th of October.
Yes, that's right. So, and obviously available everywhere.
I'm going to Cornwall that day.
Are you?
Pop it in the car.
There you go.
Yeah.
I guess, James, what's changed hugely since, you know, you first found fame is the way people consume music. You know, are you doing the whole putting it on vinyl, putting it on cassettes, or are you trying to just accept that that's not the way of the world anymore?
Definitely doing it on vinyl. I don't think we're doing cassettes.
Oh, no, that's very niche.
That would really be...
God, that sounded older than me.
I know. Well, some people do it now. They bring back the cassette. But,
I mean, it's the way good things always change. It's just awesome that I remember the days that you had to wander down to a record store, and thank God you don't have to do that now. Literally hear a song, Shazam it, and
it's yours.
Straight away. It's great.
Well, good luck with the album. It's always good to have you back.
Thank you so much.
But now we must get on to the very pressing matters of setting the world to right about some very silly, silly topics.
Yeah.
Shall we do it?
Of course.
Let's do it. So, first up this week, James Blunt and Joe Elvin. Is it just me that doesn't own a Kindle and feels slightly guilt-tripped about that?
Why do you feel guilty about it?
Well, I don't know. I just think, It just feels to me like I'm missing out because I'm quite old school in the sense that I really like physical books. But having said that, I've now got to a place where I've got no more room left in my house for books. So what I tend to do is not keep hold of them and just re-gift them on anyway. So it kind of...
Are your books just to look good then?
No, I'm not.
Do you choose specifically which books to have in your bookshelf?
As long as they all...
So you know people will judge you.
They're not colour coordinated.
You know, you can hire people to fill your bookshelves. I know people.
Do you know Fancher Wine?
What?
That one.
What?
That one who did Gwyneth's bookshelves. His actual name is Fancher Wine.
Wow.
Yeah.
But no, I didn't.
Not that one. I know a different one.
I was going to say, you were being so quiet, man. I thought, oh no, I'm about to slag off James Blunt's best friend, Thatcher Wine.
Thatcher Wine. Yeah, it's a really good mate of mine.
Let me come and curate your bookshelves for you.
I mean, it is that kind of thing. When you see it on Instagram, you're like, oh God, that looks amazing. But I don't think I could be fucked, to be honest, to do that. To sit there and colour coordinate.
You've seen my house. It's a shitstorm. I mean, if anyone's even going to notice the books.
One of my friends has actually colour coordinated all the apps on his phone.
Yeah, I mean, my bookshelf is slightly colour coordinated.
Is it?
And I also do size them off.
Oh, that's impressive.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
But I have never read any of them.
We've got a bit of a mad professor thing going on where they just also let stuff.
Because I don't have a Kindle. I mean, I can read, but I just try not to.
Oh, thanks for saying that. I just always feel really bad.
You feel book shame generally.
I have book shame. I just read all day for work. I don't do a lot of sort of hobby reading. Isn't that terrible? I think that's the bigger crime than not owning a Kindle.
Yes, true. Yeah, well, I do find it.
That's
I mean, it feels like...
Yes, true.
Yes, you absolutely... No. Yeah. No, but I think for me, I hate to say it is a cliche, but if I read before bed, I definitely fall asleep better, if you know, rather than sitting there on my phone or, you know, it does do something, I think.
You're trying so hard not to say something dirty.
Come on.
I'm just raising an eyebrow.
It was like
We all have our different techniques.
What kind of book are we talking about here? So hang on then, James. Is it,
I'm glad you and I aren't married.
Be a very stale bed. But would you say you're not an avid bookworm because is it a throwback to having to do, I don't know, because I actually weirdly like the classic. Like, you know, I did actually enjoy like reading Dickens. I quite liked, you know, the Brontes and Jane Austen.
I just like pictures too much.
You don't like words.
You've just got Instagram and the whole internet to go through. There's a whole internet. Why would you bother reading a
But
book?
Also, I like so a long caption on...
You mentioned cassettes. You're talking about books.
I'm such an old fart.
It's just not enough time.
The internet there. Just amazing pictures and video of
God,
stuff.
You're so modern, James.
Yeah, but hang on, James. Do you like a long caption on Instagram? Because I get a bit annoyed now. There's not enough detail in the caption.
Yeah.
People that still...
I know, I think short and sweet.
Do you?
Myself.
But at least some words. Like, you know, people that literally just put up a picture with no context, no explanation of it. I'm like, what? That's really frustrating.
Unless it's a good picture.
Well, maybe. But I want to know more. I'm an inquisitive person, you see. So it's just not enough. But maybe I'm being very shallow.
See, but I'm being really practical. Having a Kindle is just another thing to get smashed or get lost. I've got enough shit.
I mean, I'll be honest though. There are some books that I've started reading and I've had to give up because they're just too heavy.
Really? You are a hardback buyer then, aren't you? He wants to
like,
chuck that in.
Wolf Hall. Do you remember there was that time when everyone was reading Wolf Hall?
Oh,
it was the book.
I couldn't get through Wolf Hall.
Well, yeah, it was heavy enough. And then, honestly, I do wonder if I'd had it on a Kindle, would I have actually got through it? Probably not, actually. Who am I kidding?
No, because the other thing about Kindles is because I sometimes I've got the app on my iPad and it's, I don't like that. I really love the sense of achievement when I actually do read a book. Like, oh, I'm halfway through now. Oh, I've read. Look how many pages. And you don't really get that sense when you're reading something electronically.
Yeah, I know you mean.
I do. I think for the four books I have read in my life, I think I relate to what you're talking about. Yeah. To a degree.
But when it comes to like writing then, James, what's your sort of, how do you approach it? Do you, old school, do you write it down in pen and paper? Do you do it on your phone?
I think for my first album, I probably did have a massive,
a quill.
A notebook and write down all those things at length. Now, no, I just put it online. I write it on a computer.
Really?
And it's definitely less satisfying.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you can change things really quickly and edit them. So it seems much more practical. But there's definitely something that's not as...
And also the chance of selling it on and making a load of money off it, the merchandise. Because obviously, you know, a handwritten James Blunt lyric's going to make a lot more than
so
a
then
printed...
We're doing it after the event. You're frauding it.
I know. But hey, is that so bad?
I don't know. I would feel very cheated.
Yeah, but you bought that.
But I still find it quite bizarre when I see autograph hunters. Do you feel that there are fewer autograph hunters, or because I still think it's a weird
country, actually? Yeah, somewhere like Germany still has a lot of them. And yeah, so if I play a show, there'll be backstage, there will be a bunch of letters sent to that venue, saying, "Will you send this back?" And there'll be a mass of people waiting outside just for autographs and not even for pictures.
No,
which seems a really weird thing.
Yeah. Because I always think I'm reminded of Wimbledon. You know, at the end of every tennis match in Wimbledon, you forget that everyone's there, literally. I'm like, God, the whole idea. Because I never had that thing of wanting to have autographs.
You know, it seemed nicer just to want to have a conversation with them.
Well, yeah, you'd think, couldn't
rather
it?
Rather than just a scratch.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I just think that so many people just freak out. They don't know. They don't want to remember the stupid thing they said to their idol, yeah. James
they just
Blunt.
Want to recall the moment in some way.
Yeah.
But then also, you know, you can just go buy them on the internet, can't you?
Yeah.
Pretty much if you wanted a signed autograph.
And so lots of people who will hang around outside a hotel when playing, you kind of think, hang on,
I've seen you before.
I think you're flogging this.
Have you ever had the experience of, I once, a friend of mine, I really loved Bob Mortimer. I had a real phase of being obsessed with Vic and Bob, and somebody gave me a signed photo of Bob, and then I realised months later it wasn't his signature. She just signed it just to say, here you go, I got your Bob's autograph.
That's mean.
That is
mean. You're going to discover at some point, you're going to check.
I mean, where I will completely contradict myself now is that, though, for example, though, I can understand having a signed book. So, you know, if you had a book signed by the author, that makes more sense because totally. You're going to hang on to it anyway.
You can't sign a Kindle.
You can't sign a Kindle. But like I said, it's okay. So we are all pretty much agreed on this. You don't have a Kindle, James.
I don't have a Kindle.
I guess they're not going to sponsor the podcast.
They're not. We've kind of shot ourselves in the foot there.
Mm. Well, we should go for someone else sponsoring it. Like, like, I don't know, Jim Beam. Or, let's go for it.
I like the way you can tell. Exactly. You can take the boy out of Ibiza. But yeah. We haven't even talked about that yet. I hear so many amazing things about your Ibiza playground.
You're very welcome there any stage.
Oh my God.
He's so polite.
Apparently everybody is. It's great. Yeah, you shouldn't feel special.
Hardly.
Yeah. So, I have a very sweet little nightclub. And Svetlana is the person who runs the door. She's a mannequin.
Oh, so that's who we've got to be nice to.
We just drop the name in.
Yeah.
I bought a mannequin from a mannequin shop.
Oh, it's actually a mannequin.
It's actually a mannequin. They line up the different mannequins.
I'd still be nervous. I've never had a good time getting into clubs.
Being turned away.
And you choose your mannequin. And I couldn't afford the hottest mannequin. So I went for just above halfway because you don't want to give the impression that you're going, you know, not.
That's how
not
I choose.
Well.
That's how I choose wine. Yeah. Not the most expensive.
Yeah. Makes sure you don't look cheap. Yeah. But anyway, she's got a clipboard of my friend's names on the list, and I'll put yours down. Her name's Svetlana, and she'll let you in.
So I mean, it's a funny old thing, isn't it, Ibiza? Because you fear it's that thing that you should all grow out of. But it's such a lovely place. It's one of those places that people think it's this really hedonistic destination, but it's so not. It can be.
Is it not? I don't know where you're going.
Well, no, it can be. And then it can also be. They're very sort of calm, beautiful, you know.
I love it. I hope to die there. Not too soon. But it is an amazing, very, very special place. Yeah, but you're right. You can be and do anything there. And it's not just
about
the big old clubs. There's a quieter, more.
And how old were you when you first went there and sort of fell in love with it?
I think I was about 13 when I first went there on a summer holiday with mates. Walked past Pasha and thought, wow, that looks amazing. One day I'll be in there. Pasha's its most famous nightclub. And I wrote a song called 1973 about the club.
Don't look at me when you say that. I had heard of it. I'm not that uncool.
But I read the last time I was in Ibiza, I think it may have been Space, or it may have been Pasha. I was in one of the clubs, and there was literally like people my parents' age, and they were just living their best life. And I thought, God, there's this really weird idea that you have to grow out of clubbing. And it's like, no, why? It's a bit like people thinking you grow out of wanting to have sex. It's like, you know, just because you get old doesn't mean you give up on and all those things.
I think if I go to a club in London, I do think, wow, the crowd here seems quite young. Whereas in Ibiza, they really seem like it's a massive spread of ages.
Yeah. Mm. Much healthier. Anyway, we totally digress there off of Kindle. But anyway.
I mean, we don't like Kindle. Yeah, but we're talk about
screw the Kindle. We're off to Ibiza.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
So for me, is it just me who is a fragrance floozy?
It's a bit of a hard
floozy.
One to say.
I love it when you say it again. Say floozy.
Is it just me who is a fragrance floozy?
So basically, you have no signature scent, James.
I don't. I mean, I'm a clean person. you know, I'm definitely a once, maybe it's even twice a shower a day guy. Because I wake up in the morning, come off a stage. But I don't have a fragrance. However, I have been the face of a perfume before called Mex. And I had to do that, you know, if you want to smell like me. Mex, pour homme.
Was that one of those pinch me moments? You're like, I can't believe I'm actually doing
and
this.
And the deal we did was fantastic. I said to my manager, I'm game for this, but you have to promise me this perfume will not come out in any English-speaking country where I may know people.
It's a bit like Joey from Friends' blue lipstick in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. And so it was worldwide, except Australia, UK, America. And I had to go and do a video shoot in South Africa. And I flew down with this remarkably good-looking model from Scandinavia. And we did this shoot together. Wherever we were in the same scene, I had to stand on a box so that I could be nearly her height, and it was wholly unconvincing that she would be in any way with me, attracted to me. But Mex pour homme, and it was a huge seller in a non-English speaking country.
Yep. and you don't wear that anymore.
And I had to speak at length about the perfume and describe what was in it from the cedarwood and a number of other ingredients. My secret was I never smelt it.
Right. Well, do you know what the James? I can imagine though.
This is so disillusioning about advertising.
Well, I know, who'd have thought? No, but do you know what, James? I can imagine.
The disclaimer is only because I have very sensitive nostrils.
Yeah. I can imagine.
I have no sense of smell.
I think you've got good manners.
My lawyers, I mean, it could have smelled like panicking. Fly spray. Yeah. You know,
yeah. But it was the biggest seller, and so I still condone it. Mex, pour on.
And have you got about 10 ton of boxes of it in a garage?
You know, had I known you before this,
and there'd be a signed bottle.
As a Christmas present, you would have been getting that, whether you're male or female.
But I reckon, James, you're a polite man, that even when you were then made to do interviews to promote that fragrance, you thought, I've taken the money, I'm going to be polite, I'm going to do the, you know, but what my biggest bugbear with celebrities who choose to endorse things is when they then have to do the press to support being the face of it, and they are so indignant. They're so like, almost insulted by every question you ask them about fragrance, which you've been made to ask. You don't want to talk about that either, isn't it? You know, Joe, it was one of our most frustrating things.
One specific actor.
Oh, so many. Actually, actors were the worst. Because I think women, weirdly, were... I don't know if it's a lot of men, especially male Hollywood actors, it's almost a bit emasculating. So they'd actually become quite hostile in those kind of situations.
Yeah,
they felt
which is really silly. Because, you know, you have jumped into bed with that company.
Exactly.
And I've had... For me, you know, it was a company that I got on with really well. And we had a blast doing all of these things. And if my job is to get up and flog it, we still made it a really great experience.
Yeah.
And I believed it.
You know? Yeah, of course.
It was
a good campaign. Yeah. Joe, where are you on this one?
Oh my God. I'm a massive fragrance floozy.
Oh, are you? I always thought
Well, I did have a signature scent for a while.
Yeah.
But it became too exhausting to keep that up. It's just too much pressure on a person to always smell of the same one thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's quite... Have you ever become obsessed by a perfume on an ex in any way? Because you can identify when someone walks past you and an ex, they're wearing the same perfume.
Yeah.
Well, I've had a couple where my husband's got very sensitive skin, so he doesn't tend to wear fragrance. So, but there's been a couple of times when you smell something and go, oh God, I haven't really got fond memories of any exes really. So if there's a scent that is associated with them, then no, he's not allowed to wear it. But he doesn't wear perfume anyway.
Yeah.
Did you ever do that thing at school when you had to revise and they said you sprayed your notes with different smells and aftershaves, it actually helps you retain the information?
No way.
I've not really? Heard that one
yeah.
before.
That was very, so basically,
I'm going to tell my daughter that.
Yeah,
one.
So for maths, yeah. maths would have a different scent, and then for English, there'd be a different
well,
scent.
I know
and
what
then
you, maths would smell like to me.
And then you wear the scent yeah. when you go in to do the exam, and then apparently it helps you.
Helps you it takes you back to that moment.
Apparently, you know, old school me. Yeah. Pen and paper. Yeah, but I think
she reminds me of maths.
Yeah. yeah. there are some smells. That I know you mean there are some smells now. I remember at one point there was a somewhere you could not go anywhere in Soho without it smelling of Issey Miyake. Do you remember yeah. that classic fruity Issey Miyake
yeah, yeah,
that
yeah.
everyone in media seems
to... I think I may well have been very guilty yeah, of that.
And now I just yeah. can't actually... The smell of it actually turns my stomach because it was just... It was basically the smell of the 90s, basically.
Yeah.
It was the smell of the 90s.
It really was. That yeah. and one of the Calvin Klein ones too. I think was it Eternity or Escape? That was everywhere too.
Well, that was in the exciting days when you couldn't buy many Calvin Klein fragrances here. So true. If you had it, then you were... pretty, you know, you were the dog's bollocks if you had
I mean,
a bottle
thank God
of
for perfumes in many ways, because you remember nightclubs in London once upon a time with smell of cigarette smoke.
Yeah.
yeah.
And then they took cigarette smoke out of it and then they just started smelling of BO. And
do you ever walk around works. Wondering what the hell this place smelled like in like Victorian times?
Oh my
or
God, can you imagine?
Medieval yeah. times. Yeah.
Yeah, just the streets
I,
of London.
Yeah.
I always, I never forget one of my friends was getting married and I think one of her friends is like a beauty editor. And obviously when you're getting married, there are so many things, I mean, I wouldn't know, but there are so many things to think about when you're getting married. And this girl, the first thing she said was, well, now what scent are you having for the church? And she was a bit like, what? It's like, that's the one thing I hadn't even thought was a thing. It's like, you know.
That is the worst thing about getting married.
Flowers are supposed to do it.
Yeah. Well, no, this was like the actual candles that were going to be lit. Yeah. You know, the scented candle brigade.
So what are you smelling of today?
Oh, yes.
I'm not close enough to know. Have you got a perfume on?
No, I have a deodorant on. I've used a deodorant.
Very good.
I think well done with the deodorant.
And you both of you are very welcome to have a sniff. If I can.
So polite.
Yeah.
Well, I started with one fragrance and then I couldn't smell it anymore, so I stuck another one on before I came out.
It's all about the layering though, isn't it?
I probably you're smell like the veritable whore's handbag, as my nan used
well,
to say.
Well, the thing is, I yeah. once went to one of those like aftershave tasting, it must have been a PR thing I went to. And I didn't you know, you think you're wearing too much aftershave. And then when you see people, the actual perfumery, how much they tell you you need to put on, it's quite eye-opening and watering because...
I mean, they're a con. The markup on perfume is a con.
It is,
it's
yeah.
Absolutely, it's all about just, yeah, the brand name and association.
But I do feel like it's definitely the last thing I put on before. It's my last
that's
bit of getting
excuse.
Ready.
You say that, although, and I, you know, I've got no affiliations here at all, but the Chanel perfumes that I like are really expensive, but they are really great.
Creed.
I mean, they're all very individual. So I don't mind because I can't afford anything else with Chanel. Mm. So I'm quite happy to own that.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy it.
Yeah, Creed aftershave is very expensive, but I have to say it's the one thing you put on at 10 o'clock in the morning and you can still smell it at 10 o'clock at night. Mm. So yes. Oh. Anyway, that's us on the perfume.
We're all total floozies.
Exactly. Well, if you wanted to send us any emails or thoughts on any other topics, then do get in touch with us. We love hearing from you. The email address isitjustmepodcast@gmail.com. Like I said, send us your thoughts and any suggestions for future guests or topics. Thank you.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And we're running out of time here at the moment. James's publicist has just given me the eye.
I know, basically. So we've had too much lovely time chatting.
Yeah,
we kept our eye off the clock.
Yeah.
We'll probably have to leave it at that then, I'm afraid, James. But
we've got time for one more.
Yeah. Oh, we have. Yeah. Okay, sorry. I thought we were being shut down.
No.
5 minutes. Yeah. 5 minutes. Oh, right. In that case.
No. I can talk really fast.
Right. Let's get this one.
Don't leave me, guys.
James Blunt, James Williams, the Jameses.
Yes.
Is it just me who really resists getting into a new TV show, even if it's the ones where
I'm totally with you.
I end up getting obsessed. But there's something.
That's the danger.
But also, I just find there's something so off-putting about everybody saying to me, you got to watch it. It just makes me hate it before I've even started.
Yeah, I know. I'm having that with Chernobyl at the moment. I feel like I'm the only person that hasn't watched Chernobyl.
No, I feel I should.
Yeah. But I, now the further away from it I get.
Do you know what, guys? It's really good.
I know.
I'm not gonna do that thing that everyone's, it's the most cinematic occurrence to ever happen on TV in the history of all galaxies. It's like, it's a good show.
To be honest, it's a miracle that I got on board with Game of Thrones so quickly, because if I had not, I would never.
And the problem I have is that once I started one, I really feel I have to go to the end. So what they're saying is you have to then commit however many days of your life to this thing. Yeah. It's no stopping.
But unlike you, James, I don't really have anything else going on. So I'm quite happy to sit at home and watch endless amounts of TV.
But surely Netflix and Amazon Video must, for you, somebody who spends a lot of time on the road, has that really kind of saved you from very long, boring bus rides?
No, it hasn't. The only one I think I've ever watched is Game of Thrones. And I felt really sad about it, because then I really avidly sat down and watched it through days and through nights.
Were you
when I should have been
off?
Getting out and going, seeing the amazing city that I was in, of, you know, whichever old school city that's been here for thousands of years that I should be visiting, because I'm lucky to be on tour.
It'll be then next
Game of Thrones is dead.
Were you fuming when Sheeran popped up in Game of Thrones?
No,
she's just lying.
I'm gonna say no on that.
I'd forgotten about that. I was gonna say, well, what are you talking about?
Very convincing part. What you said.
Quite right. Who's watching Succession? That's the one I'm bullying everybody.
That's the other one I need to get involved in.
Oh my god, it's amazing.
Yeah. What is? So, are you not a big TV watcher then, James? Either.
I'm really not. No, actually. No, I mean. No.
But again, that's...
I'm glad you chose this topic,
then.
Like smashing a porn, I think that's probably my limitation. Which I hear they're going to make much harder to get nowadays. I'm slightly worried about
that. Damn.
But other than that, no. I don't know why I chose this topic with you, on second thought.
I'm just thinking about the pornos now, where people are sort of like... swathing themselves in Mex Pour Homme.
Oh, Mex Pour Homme.
Yeah.
No, I think...
I'm more into sort of self-made. Which, yeah, that's my kind of bag.
The homemade. No, I think because I think I do watch a lot of TV. I just worry that I sometimes don't go for the TV I should be watching. So I end up watching the very easy, like the garden makeover shows, or...
I thought you were going to say the Golden Girls.
Well, always the Golden Girls. Yeah. There's always room in my life for an episode of the Golden Girls. But, you know, it's weird. Like, even like Sex and the City I'll put on, or like, you know, there are certain things in films that I will just, if they're on, I'll just watch that instead of watching the new hot TV show.
I've gravitated towards things that are more, I feel, educational. Like
a documentary,
Police Interceptors.
Right.
Because you learn from that, don't you? You know what they're after. You know how to like police... camera action.
I got sucked into Inside Cadbury. That was a surprise. I didn't see that one coming. Did you watch that by any chance?
No.
Inside the Cadbury's factory. Actually, it just basically makes you want to eat dairy milk.
Yeah.
Basically,
I think I visited the factory.
Yeah, it's in Birmingham. Yeah. Not far from Birmingham.
Yeah, exactly.
I watched that and I was like, I mean, it was actually very well done, but it was a bit like, God, the random things I've watched. Because, yeah, I should be watching Succession, but yeah, I'm watching Inside Cadbury. But at least I feel like, I was thinking Joe is the opposite. She's always the person that's watching the Buzz show, even like before anyone else is watching it.
Don't tell everyone that.
I know. But, well,
oh
no.
Oh my God.
But then you're not tweeting or pressurizing people down.
No.
Watch them yourself.
No, because a lot of the time I shouldn't be watching it when I'm watching it. So, to be quite honest. So, you know, we just keep that on the DL.
Yeah, a DL.
Thanks, James.
Sorry. Well, yeah. So I guess basically, I need to start pushing myself into watching a bit more, because I do worry that I've gone the other way too much.
I suppose instead of watching this, I just avidly have watched the news all my life, and now the news is unwatchable.
Exactly.
I can't watch the news. What's the point of knowing things? Yeah. What is the point of knowing things?
I know,
can't change anything.
Yeah,
it's something.
Totally right.
To
take my God. Yours as my own thought process and motto.
I can't handle it.
It is true. There's something to be said for just shoving the two fingers in your ears and going no, because. It's so utterly depressing. So that's why watch garden makeover shows.
You know, just make some porn. Enjoy and yourself.
Put your fingers in your ears.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like, ears.
Yeah, here for a good time. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Not a long time.
That way you're going to sleep really well.
Yeah. That's true. And what a beautiful way to bring it all back in full focus. Yes.
Oh, James, come back again. We love having you on the podcast.
Thank you so much.
Oh, yes, good luck with the album. Just to recap again, so it's out on October 25th.
And I'm doing a world tour starting in February.
Does that small matter?
Day, Valentine's Day, February 14th, 2020.
So you're going to be away, because I've Googled you. You're going to be away for your birthday.
Yeah, but I like to share.
Yeah, we're almost birthday twins.
Are we really?
Yeah, so, I'm the day before.
Okay. So, yeah. Well, are you going to come to the show then?
Give a shout out.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Of course.
Dedicate a song to her.
It's my 50th birthday. What better way to celebrate it?
Than a James Blunt concert.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. With a dedication.
Yeah, as long as you... Yeah, will you?
Great.
Good.
Well, we'll see you there then, James.
That's all planned.
Thanks so much for joining us again, James. Good luck with the album. And thank you so much for listening, everyone. We'll see you again very soon.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.